Thank you for inviting me to the organizers. I'm very happy to be here with all of you today. I have been researching the smuggling network since 2004, initially in Italy and then at the international level. And research I've done in this domain showed the main features of smuggling activities and their evolution. And main sources I have been using in this years are judicial proceedings and interviews with migrants and even with law enforcement and NGOs personnel. And today, with my contribution, I adopt an historical perspective, an overview, and I will present you firstly an overview of the main tools created to stop or contain irregular migration and affecting smuggling networks. And secondly, very shortly also, the geographical evolution of the routes. I will try to answer a simple question, that is, how did the smuggling networks grew and have acquired the dimension and the shape they have today? Of course, smuggling networks have flourished to assist would-be migrants and asylum seekers to cope with migration interdictions, and a new illegal market has formed out of this. They did not exist in the 80s at all. This network developed to respond to interdictions and sanctions. Contravening such interdictions is the bulk or the core of their business. And they are affected by, in different ways, by different sets of norms. Mainly, what they do, they assist migrants in contravening border controls. And in the last 20 years, new technological instruments, such as radar and biometric scanning devices, have been introduced to check land and sea borders, and in an expanding, ever-expanding geographical area. Concrete walls are also built on an increasing number of borders within and outside the European area. And also for border controls, the trend has been an upgrade from the national to the supranational level, with agreements between countries. In the European Union, Frontex is the agency launched in 2004 to help secure Europe's borders, in line with the aims of the Schengen Agreement. And among its missions and tasks, it provides services as training for border guards, facilitating deportations, and developing and maintaining IT systems. And especially in last years, joint international efforts to patrol the Mediterranean Sea are increasing, with a parallel building of specialized centers to coordinate maritime operations, including rescue and eventually military actions. A military action had been deployed in Albania, in the area between Albania and Italy, between the 90s and the year 2000, the ALBA operation, and it was successful, but it was conducted in cooperation with the Albanian government and supported by the UN. 2 days ago, the EU has launched a new operation that is called SOFIA, that aims at destroying the smugglers' vessel in the Libyan territorial waters. But in my personal view, I don't believe it will be very successful as a strategy. And up to now, despite the use of this technology and militarization of borders and the massive patrolling, the smuggling business has enlarged. How? Smuggling activities and the changing shapes respond not only to border controls, but even to a wide set of norms. They are affected by other interdictions that are increasingly complex. Historically, the first step introduced were the sanctions for migrants. For irregular migrants. The domestic legislation in the European countries have progressively introduced administrative rules, or alternatively, penal laws to criminalize irregular migration since the 90s, and detention centers have been instituted. Return procedures also have been developed. The same model, including detention and deportation, has been developed in the next decade in the southern rims of the Mediterranean, as we have seen clearly yesterday. However, while the European countries, since the beginning, based their policy on a screening between economic migrants and asylum seekers, in the other countries, this is something that is going to be developed properly by national states in the last years. And this difference between the North and the South is not important on the magnitude of the flows, but in their composition, because the clients of smugglers became more and more asylum seekers rather than economic migrants because of the screening made in the European Union. So the percentage of asylum seekers is increasing. And to understand the situation today, it's important to remark that it is the regional instability in the Middle East and Mediterranean to fuel the demand for smuggling services because of this. And this is true especially for groups that can mobilize resources, money, for example, Syrians who are arriving in the European Union generally are able to sell their real estates and to have money enough to pay the travel. The same is for the Eritrean people that are supported by the family abroad, by the large family abroad. And so this is important to understand the growing influence of the smuggling of the smuggling networks. Another tool that has been developed just shortly has been the criminalization of the smugglers, of course, and this has been introduced in the European legislation shortly after the sanctions for irregular migrants. And one important step has been the protocol at the global level, the protocol on smuggling of migrants by land, sea and air. And after that, in 2002, the European Union adopted common rules to combat trafficking, smuggling, the so-called facilitator package, which is composed by a directive and a framework decision. While in the southern rims of the North African countries, even if most of the countries have ratified the convention, they have not introduced fully the provisions in the national legislations. But anyway, this tool is not really effective. Even, for example, in Italy, there have been recently lots of important judicial proceedings against smugglers, but they are not really successful because they need the full cooperation of the other countries that are involved in the smuggling network. So it's not it's a very costly and not effective tool. What's demonstrated to be the most relevant tool, the more effective, are since the beginning the bilateral agreements. Since the late 90s, the EU Mediterranean countries signed various specific agreements with transit and origin countries with the objective of intercepting and stopping the immigration flows. And assistance in border control, training, and specifically designing and effective implementation of the readmission agreements with the non-EU countries were the most important tool to reduce and to reshape the smuggling routes. And for example, in Italy, since 1998, 30 of these readmission agreements were signed. So In the Mediterranean, this policy, as a result, is effective in several cases. In the case of departure from Albania, from Tunisia and Egypt to Italy, and also from Morocco to Spain. And however, for example, it's totally ineffective between Greece and Turkey. So every case is different. And it's also relevant to remember the regional partnerships already recalled, and the fora at the international and regional level, such as the Rabat process or the Khartoum process, the new one, that are set up to develop common policies among origin, transit, and destination countries, and to regulate even the south-south migration flows. And also it's relevant to recall the role of the international organizations for the production of knowledge or capacity building, and above all, the creation of standard definitions. So in the Mediterranean area, all these instruments have been applied differently for each of the routes, influencing them. In the evolution in last 20 years, we can distinguish in four main periods. The first period goes from the 90s to the 2002, and we have routes that connect the very narrow straits that are from Morocco to Spain, from Tunisia to Sicily, from Albania to Italy, and even very long routes coming from Sri Lanka, passing through the Suez Canal and ending in Italy, as well as some routes from Turkey to Italy, mainly for Kurdish asylum seekers. So from the 90s until 2002, these routes were formed, and with the application of the instruments I already presented you, all these routes were reduced or dismantled. For example, the route from Albania to Italy was really dismantled, it doesn't exist anymore. The route from Morocco to Spain is widely reduced, and even from Tunisia to Sicily, it was a very important one route made up of economic migrants mainly, and then for North African workers, and it's not so effective now as a route. So what's happened then? So the first period is the birth and death of these routes, the first route. The second cycle commences with the starting of this new route from Libya to Sicily, initially to Lampedusa, and then another route that went from Morocco and Mauritania and other countries to the Canary Islands. And during these years, there is a change in the composition of the flows of the clientele, of the clients of the smugglers, that are increasingly made by asylum seekers. What happens in Libya? After the when cost in Tunisia became too high because of the institutional countermeasures, the weakest link in the chain of control policies was identified in Libya. The novelty is that Libya is only a service country for smugglers. It's not a country of immigration, because all the other countries where initially smugglers operated were immigration countries, except Turkey, but even in Turkey, because they were Kurdish people from Kurdistan who wanted to use these routes. And what happened in Libya? In Libya happened that the first flows came from here on the border with Tunisia, because there were traffickers from Tunisia that were very well experienced, as well as traffickers from Turkey and Egypt that already moved people from Egypt to Tunisia in order to arrive in Italy. And so a wide network formed, even with other traffickers that moved migrants from the Horn of Africa through Sudan. And even because this route has been closed mainly with bilateral agreements and with the intervention of Frontex operation, with a lot of death of people dying at sea, the route to the Canary Islands, so another route through Niger reached Libya in order to pass. So until 2009, the Libyan route was the main one and was a very important route, and it was so difficult to reduce it because of the difficult political negotiation with the government in Libya. But after years and years of negotiation between Italy and Libya and between the European Union and Libya, at the end there was the bilateral cooperation with that was really highly criticized on the human rights point of view, with rejection of migrants at sea. And also in Libya, this happened in 2009, and in 2009, we can say that a third cycle opens for the smuggling in the Mediterranean, because when the Libyan route is reduced by 80% in a few months, other routes are starting to emerge. For example, one route from Algeria to Sardinia, and another route from Egypt, from Alexandria mainly, reaching or Crete or Italy, and even the route from Turkey to Greece and from Turkey directly to Italy were reinforced. Even a new route emerged from Greece to Italy. So there is a kind of movement toward the east of the routes that are not so massive as it was. The numbers are decreasing, but anyway, the effect is the creation of a lot of routes, new routes. And so this is this lead to. There is, we can say that in 2010, anyway, the numbers of irregular migrants passing from the Mediterranean Sea are really reduced. But what happens? It happens that in 2011 there is a very relevant flow of people coming both from Tunisia and Libya. And this is a kind of parenthesis in the history of smuggling, because it is a crisis situation. What changed most is after 2013. And we can say that in 2013, there is the start of the first cycle and the beginning of the big crisis that we are currently living. Because since 2013, war in Syria, regional political instability, conflict in Libya led to an increase of migratory pressures, mainly made by asylum seekers, who are the main clients of the smugglers. And all routes that were already set up to or expanded after the reduction of the Libyan routes are already active and ready for a further expansion. So in 2014, what happened in Libya, the route increased disproportionately because controls are not put in place anymore. And during the same year, even stronger growth, almost 10 times the numbers of 2013, is recorded for the route from Turkey to Greece. And the same happens for the route from Egypt to southern Italy. Because of shipwrecks, the Mediterranean Sea border between North Africa and the EU officially became the most dangerous border region worldwide outside of a war zone. As in Libya, travels become too dangerous, and Turkey is the country with the highest number of refugees in the world. In 2015, Turkey becomes the most relevant departure area. And for this reason, also land routes within Europe are expanding, including the Balkan area, in order to reach the North European countries from Greece, because Greece is the only access to maritime borders now. Not the only, but the less risky. Due to this trend, currently, so the two key countries for entering Europe are Turkey first and Libya second. Egypt is not relevant in this moment, even because of a reaction by the government to smugglers. The increasingly dangerous route from Libya is mainly used by West African national and some from the Horn of Africa, while the route to Greece is mostly used by Syrian and even by Eritreans, Afghan, Iraqis, but also by African nationals that prefer this route. While the Libyan route has the same relevance as last year, in 2014, that it was about 140,000 persons, the Turkish route is growing. And such unprecedented growth demonstrates on one side the persistence of high demand for crossings and of the monetary resources that are needed to pay smugglers, because their services are very, very costly on the Turkish route. And on the other side, it reveals the capacity of the international smuggling network to widen the scope in order to meet this demand. And finally, we can say that the strengthening of the border controls and upgrade of international cooperation to counter the smuggling activities led to increases in the risk and cost faced by smugglers on one side and together with them by migrants. And this dynamic needs to be carefully analyzed and monitored. For instance, the strengthening of law enforcement can produce the reorientation of flows and the diversion of some routes, usually making them more difficult than before. And this in turn increases the risk for the migrants. And also these enhanced policy responses can promote the professionalization and the growing transnational interconnection among smugglers that now are really connected for running the routes. And as it was stated by an advisory committee to the European Commission in a document published last week, smuggling networks can be weakened if fewer people seek their services. And as a solution, is therefore important to open more safe and legal ways into the EU. This also, the advisory committee believes that the war on smugglers approach, disposing of vessels, identifying, tracking, and depriving smugglers of their profits, will be as costly and ineffective as the war on drugs, and it will also do little to stem the loss of lives in the Mediterranean. I believe this approach has not been adopted because of the Operation Sophia adopted 2 days ago, that is quite the opposite of the advice of the advisory committee. But if this new approach will be approved, I think a fifth cycle for the smuggling activity will be commenced in the Mediterranean. Thank you.